Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I want to do something interesting this morning. I want to actually re-preach a sermon that I've preached before, but not actually in this church. And when we were a church, in fact, I want to preach to you a sermon that I preached back in on March the 15th, 2020. And remember, the reason I can remember the date so distinctly is before we launched this church, the Well Fort Payne, on Father's Day, June the 19th of 2020, we had some nights of worship, which were kind of prelim nights for the launch, and we held them at DeKalb Theater downtown. The first one, we just worshiped, we prayed over the city, we pursued God. But then the second one, we called it Worship and Word. And it was actually the day that everything began to shut down for COVID. It was the day that a bunch of churches, they did not meet, they did not gather that morning. And there was all these executive orders going out. Governors were calling big churches, asking them not to gather. And we decided to go ahead and have that gathering that night. Little did we know that in the next week, the world was literally going to shut down. And it was going to be a crazy experience. And I'm not going to go into all that because if you're like me, you're tired of hearing about COVID. You're tired of hearing about 2020. It's over. Thank God, we've gotten through that. But I remember that night because I feel like God released something special that night and he put a word on my heart. And I've been so excited about this. In fact, I've not looked through the Kingdom Principles series that we're on, but I've known for a few weeks that God was going to have me share this, but I knew that we needed to establish those Kingdom Principles that we talked about and to get to this. And so I'm excited about this. This word has been stirring strongly in my spirit, and the title is Results of the Rain. I want to talk to you about the results of the rain because we want to see the rain of God come in DeKalb County. We want to see this place completely changed. How many of you know that when the rain comes, naturally things begin to change, right? Things grow. Things that were dry become totally different when the rain comes. And so I want to talk about results of the rain. And here's what's interesting about this. Like I said, this word's been stirring in my heart for a few weeks now. God reminded me of it all of a sudden that I'd totally forgotten about it. And then I was listening to my dad. He was ministering at a church the other night. We didn't go. It was over in Hamilton, Alabama, but we watched the live stream. And God had begun to stir this in my heart. And my dad said something. He said, when God speaks something and he reveals something to you and then he speaks it again, it's about to happen. Okay, so God speaks something, and then when God speaks it again, because how many of you guys, God has spoken something to you, and it ain't happened yet, okay? And we're not saying God's not faithful. If he spoke it, it will happen, but there's things in my life that God has spoken, and I haven't seen it happen yet, and I'll be honest, the results of the rain that I preached on March 15th, 2020, I haven't seen them fully yet. I haven't seen them to the extent that I believe that God wants to release them in this community, and especially in this community of believers, this church. And so God spoke something. I believe it was prophetic. I believe it was to give us a vision and a picture, but I believe that now God is speaking it again because he's about to do it. And I don't say this to stir you up. I don't say this just to give you hyperbole. I really believe God is about to release this and do this in our community. And it's my job as a pastor, as an equipper, because if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, he says that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's my job. I'm not just here to preach to you, to entertain you on Sunday mornings. I want you to come and leave here equipped to carry what God imparts in this place. Listen, when we come into church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, it's not just so that we can have a good time in worship, so we can hear a good word, so that we can see nice people. You are coming here to get filled up because when you go out of those doors, you have a mandate, you have a mission, you have a commission from God to go and be a difference maker at your work, at your school, in your home, because there's a community out there of people that are dying and they're going to hell if someone doesn't tell them about the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, the only way that they can get to the Father. And so we don't come here, y'all, just to play church. In fact, I don't want to just come to church and just have a safe environment where it's cool and nobody ever gets offended and everybody gets along and everybody dresses the same, everybody talks the same, everybody votes the same, everybody listens to the same music and drives the same car. I want to come to church and I want to experience and encounter the living God. I want the results of the rain. I want to cry out for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know that if we will, he's going to respond. Listen, I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, God is more eager to answer than you are to ask. And sometimes we fail to ask. And the Bible says you don't have it simply because you don't ask for it. And we're wondering, where's revival? Where's the results of the rain? Where is the salvation? Where are people getting baptized? Why aren't people getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you, when was the last time you prayed about that? When was the last time you said, God, I would love to see your glory in your sanctuary. I would love to see people getting ministered. I'd love to see my neighbor get saved. I'd like to see my grandfather get delivered from alcoholism. I would love to see my children praising and worshiping and being in love with Jesus. Pray for it. Ask him for it. He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the results of the rain. And I want to start in Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to read verses 13 and 14 together. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you don't have your Bible or tablet or whatever, you consume the word on it. It'll be on the screen for you. Let's read this together. Would you stand to your feet with me in honor of the word of God? I'm sorry, y'all probably just got comfortable, didn't you? You guys just got settled in. That's all right. This is my prevention from you getting sleepy, okay? Have you stand back up. Deuteronomy 11, 13 and 14. This is God speaking through Moses. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Let's pray together today. Father, I thank you that you give us the rain in its season. You give the early rain, you give the latter rain. God, it's you that gives it. We can't make it happen, but we can obey you and love you and come into alignment with who you are and receive the promises that you have given to us as your people. And so, Father, I pray for a hunger and a thirst and a desire for the word and for the rain today. God, I pray for hearts that have been stagnant, that have been in a stalemate. Father, I pray that maybe there's some rusty old cogs today that need to be renewed and need to be restored so that we can function the way that you want us to function today. So, Father, we're asking for your touch, your kiss of heaven to be upon this place. God, use me as a minister and a vessel for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The results of the rain. If you would like to today, you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you, or there will be one right here on the screen. You can scan this, and there are sermon notes that you can follow along with, or if you just want to download the PDF file, and you can look back over it later. There's even actually some extra scriptures that we're not going to go to today, but if you want to study it throughout the week, you can look at that and study what God is saying to us as a church. So the results of the rain. In the passage that we read, God is speaking through his servant Moses. Moses, you probably know this, is the leader that took God's people out of Egypt. It was the Exodus. He was the deliverer. He was the chosen one. He was a prophet to the people of God. He led them through the wilderness. He did not get to enter into the promised land, but he brought them to the promised land, right to the very edge of it. And then Joshua, as the next generation of leader, led God's people into what God had promised of them. But God is speaking through Moses in this moment, and he says, he begins this segment by saying, if you will earnestly obey my commands, which I command you today. And so I want you to realize that all of the results of the rain, because I'm going to talk to you about the results of the rain. I want to stir your hunger, your passion, your desire to see God move in this church, in this community, and ultimately in your life. But we have to understand that everything hinges upon obedience to God. Everything hinges upon loving God and not just going after the results. The results will take care of themselves if we keep ourselves aligned with the right things. So God gives them this promise. He said, I'll give you the rain and you will get your grain, you'll get your new wine, you'll get your oil, but it's his reign, okay? He says, I'll give you the reign, and then you'll get to gather all of these things, but it hinges on obedience and on love. Throughout Scripture, it is consistently made known that God rewards obedience. Anytime God, people are obedient, God will always bring a reward attached to the obedience because it brings him delight to see his children respond to his invitation to serve him and to walk hand in hand with him in their purpose for their life. And so when Moses speaks on behalf of God and he says, if you will earnestly obey the commands which I command you today, that word obey in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word shema, and it means to hear, but it also means to subject oneself. So simply put, in order to obey, first you have to be able to hear. And sometimes the reason we don't walk in the results of the reign is because we don't take time to listen to what God is saying to us. We don't take time to open his word and say, speak, God, whatever you want in my life, show me, help me to align with it, help me to be obedient to it. God, I want to love you and I want to subject myself to you. Because once you've heard a command, then you can obey that command. Once you listen to an instruction, you can then obey what you have heard. So whenever you obey the Father, in essence, what you're saying is simply this: I yield myself to you. I'm giving you the right of way in my life. You have control. You have authority. I'm not in control, God. You're in control. You're the Lord of my life. I'm not making my own decisions. So what were the commandments that God gave the people of God? He said, I want you to love me and I want you to serve me with all your heart, with all your soul. And when you do, he says, I'll respond. He says, I will send you rain for the land. Now, physically speaking, without rain, there are no crops. There's no fruit. There's no bounty. There's no blessing. And when you don't get rain, you will eventually get into a drought, right? That's naturally speaking. Spiritually speaking, it's the exact same way. And rain simply represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the moving of God in our life. It's God's manifest presence. Now, I understand that some people, they can't quite wrap their mind around this. And here's the deal. With God, you're never going to fully wrap your mind around everything. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's going to take faith. You're not going to be able to understand and explain everything. It's going to take some faith. But when it comes to walking with God, you have to understand that he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. God's here. He's also in Turkey right now. He's also in Brazil. He's also in Canada. He's also in Antarctica. There's nowhere. In fact, David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. You're everywhere. There's nowhere that I can go without you. But how many of you have experienced the manifest presence of God? Where it's like, yeah, I know God's everywhere, but there's places that I've been where I'm opened up to the idea of his power and who he really is. And I'm experiencing him at a greater depth. That's what we long is. We long for the presence of God. Where David said, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And that's when we get into closeness with God. And so I understand God's everywhere, but spiritually speaking, rain represents when God manifests himself in his presence and the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And that's where we want to get to. You know why? Because when God moves in a community, he moves for the well-being of people. We want to see this community better because God is moving in the well, Fort Payne. We don't just want to see the well get better. We want to see Fort Payne get better. We want to see Rainsville get better. We want to see Collinsville get better. We want to see Valley Head and Mentone. God knows they need Jesus in Mentone. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever driven through there and been like, goodness, this place could use a touch of God? I'm telling you, there's something about Mentone. I just start praying in tongues every time I drive through there. I'm like, I rebuke it. Whatever's going on in here, I rebuke it. The Pentecostal comes out in me. I want to tell you, though, what revival really looks like, okay? Because I think that we've been duped into thinking that revival looks a certain way. Because if you're like me, I grew up in the 90s, and revival meant you had an extended series of services where God moved. I believe God wants to move every time we have a service. Not just in a 9-week outpouring or a 1-year outpouring. I believe God wants to move every single time his people come together. So revival is not just a string of special services where people show up and they get to the altar and God is moving, God touches them. I'm all for that. I believe that should be every time we come to the house of God. I'm talking about revival looks like you leading your coworker to Jesus. I'm talking about revival looks like you're mowing your yard and all of a sudden you strike up a conversation with your neighbor and the next thing you know, you're praying and they're getting healed. You're praying and their prodigal child, they're coming back to you the next week when you're out there mowing your grass again and they say, hey, you remember when you prayed with me last week? Yeah. Well, guess what? My daughter, who I haven't talked to in 18 years, just called me yesterday and asked if I could come visit her. That's what revival looks like to me. It looks like people that have been bound to alcohol or to drugs or to pills or whatever it is, and they get set free in a moment, and it doesn't have to happen inside the confines of these four walls. It can happen anywhere. That's why I say you come here to get equipped so you can go do your job. I'm not talking, listen, you have to work a job to make money, but you have a job that is greater than the position that you hold at your place of employment. You have a job and a mandate as an ambassador in the kingdom of God to carry the presence of God everywhere that you go. And it's important that we come to the house of God to get refilled, to get fueled up, to get taught, to get equipped, to get purpose for the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm believing for a great revival. And when I say revival, again, I'm not just talking about services. I'm talking about marriages being restored. I'm talking about people's lives being changed. I'm telling you, we need the results of the rain. We don't just need another great service. We don't just, and I'm all for great services, but we need God to truly move. We don't just need hype and excitement. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we cannot see the results that we're longing for apart from a move of God. It's going to take a move of God because you and I, we can't save people in our own strength. If I could save people, I would already done it by now. But it's going to take God. In our human ability, how many of you have ever seen someone hurting, broken, and you wished you could help them? You wished you could heal them. Maybe they were in a wheelchair. Maybe they had a broken arm. Maybe they'd been in a car accident, whatever it is. And you're like, man, I just wish I could help them. I just wish God can. And God can use you. And I know that he will. We can't set oppressed people free. But through God, we can become a conduit and a vessel that he can work through. But here's the deal. He comes where he's invited. He comes where he's invited. He promises that the rain will come, it will produce crops, and he says you'll gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. He was speaking naturally to the people of Israel because this is Moses' pre-promised land, and he's saying to the people, if you obey God, if you love God with all your soul, I'll bring you into the promised land, and you can have grain and new wine and oil. And he's talking about physical grain, physical new wine, and physical oil because those were things that they were going to use in their life to have a blessed life where they were never in need, never wanting. So he's speaking naturally to them. He's speaking to us as a partakers of the new covenant. He's speaking to these things in a spiritual manner. That means that these things now become metaphorical for us in our life. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these things that God promises. He says, I'll send the rain. And when I send the rain, you'll have grain, new wine, and oil. These things are going to become pictures for us of what God wants to give us as the results of his rain. Because the results we want to see will only come through the rain that God promises to those who love him and obey him. Now, before we get there, I want to show you another passage of scripture to show you that this is not just naturally, God promised it to the Israelites naturally, but we get to walk in it spiritually. Because in Joel chapter 2, Joel prophesies and he speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know that that's what he's talking about. One, because of what he says. Two, because this is exactly what Peter quotes in Acts the second chapter on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit has been poured out in the upper room and the people of God flood out into the streets and begin to witness and see people get saved. So Joel, the second chapter, we're going to read verses 23 through 26. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain. Now, this is not just talking about an old rain and a new rain. The former rain and the latter rain. There were two heavy rains in Israel, and it was in September and in April, somewhere in that area. And so these were rains that they heavily relied upon to be able to produce a crop. And God said, I have given it to you, but I'm going to give you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, that's grain. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25, he says this, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I wanted us to be able to say, we know God's in the midst of the well-fought pain. We know God is here. It's like when Jacob woke up and he said, surely God was here and I didn't know it. I want to know every time I come to church, God's going to be there. Why? Because it's his sanctuary. It's a place that's been dedicated by prayer. It's a place that we seek him fervently. It's a place that we call upon him and he answers us and he shows up and he moves in signs and wonders and miracles. He says, I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Now I want to speak especially to the well faithful right now that you've been here since 2020. In fact, how many of you guys remember that worship and word night at the DeKalb Theater? There's not many of us left that remember that night. I talked about this, and I believe that God was speaking it to us prophetically, but now he's saying this. I'm going to restore everything over the last 4 years. Because listen, how many kind of locusts are there? There's four. Swarming locust, crawling locust, consuming locust, and the chewing locust. I believe that all these years there's been something swarming, chewing, consuming, and has been coming after us. And God's saying, everything that you lost over the last 4 years, I'm going to restore it. And I'm not just going to restore it. I'm going to release. I'm going to give you the former rain, and I'm going to give you the latter rain. Because you were faithful and you endured over the past 4 years, and you kept on believing, and you kept on seeking, and you kept on showing up. And here's the good news for those of you guys that haven't been here over the past 4 years. You still get to eat the fruit of it, okay? You get to be here. It's the parable Jesus told. He said he went out and he hired people at the beginning of the day and he promised them a wage. They worked all day. And then there were some people that came in with 1 hour left. He said, y'all come on in. Y'all work for me. He paid everybody the same thing. Whether you've been here from day one or this is your first day here, I believe that if you will love God and obey God, you are going to see the results of the reign of God, the grain, the new wine, and the oil coming into this community. So God makes the same promise in Joel, prophetically speaking of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that he made through Moses in Deuteronomy that we read earlier. He said, I've faithfully given you the former rain. Now I'm going to give you the former rain and the latter rain together. So he promises the exact same results. So let's break down what these are metaphorically. Grain. Grain represents increase. I want you to know this morning that God is a God of increase. He wants to bring provision in your life like you have never known. And I know that immediately when we say that, we go, oh, here we go. Here's another pastor talking about God's going to bless you. God's going to give you a new car. God's going to give you a new house. No, I'm just talking about God. Increase just means to grow larger and larger. I'm talking about prospering in your soul, prospering in your spirit, prospering in your mind, prospering in your relationships, prospering in your finances, prospering in your health. In every single way, God wants to bring increase because in the Bible, grain, that's what it represents, increase. Because as long as they had grain, they were blessed. As long as they had grain, they could make it. In fact, what was it that Jacob sent his sons to Israel to buy from his son Joseph in Egypt because they didn't have any grain left in the land of Canaan? He said, go buy us some grain because if we got grain, we can live. But right now, we're in a famine. We don't have any grain. And so grain represents an increase. And God says, if you will love me and you'll obey me, you'll have grain. In fact, it says in the book of Joel, it says this. It says that your threshing floors will be full of wheat. Not just enough wheat to get by, but it'll be full of wheat. It'll be overflowing. You'll have more than enough because God's not lacking. He is not insufficient in any shape, form, or fashion. He's a God of increase. And I'm believing and I'm declaring today, and I don't do this often because I don't want to be haphazard about just throwing things out. I really try to be careful about what I say and what God is saying to us. I'm telling you, we're stepping into a season of harvest. We're stepping into a season of increase. We're stepping into a season where we know and we realize God is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In fact, my favorite translation of that says this: God is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We're stepping into a season where we're not gonna lack what we need to finish these bathrooms in the back. You're not gonna lack the confidence that you need, the hope that you need, the joy that you need, the peace that you need, the healing that you need. I believe that God is gonna restore what the chewing, consuming locust has eaten in your life, and we're gonna be restored to the place that God wants us to be. If you've been lacking, you've been finding yourself in want, I've got good news for you today. He's bringing us into a season of our threshing floors overflowing with wheat. Increase is coming. Increase of what? You may say, increase of the Spirit of God. Increase of revelation. Increase of faith. Increase in every single area of your life. And here's the deal. When God shows up and he brings increase, abundancy and sufficiency are what we get to walk in. Because we serve a God that's more than able to provide for his children. I believe in this house we're going to see an increase of people getting saved. We're going to see an increase of people getting baptized. Water baptism, Spirit-filled baptism. I believe that we're going to see an increase of people being able to pay off debts that seemed insurmountable. They thought, I'm going to have to leave this for my spouse. I'm going to have to leave this for my children. No, I believe that God is bringing us into a season of increase. Increase is coming because when the rain comes, the grain comes. And as God pours out the rain, then we get to reap the harvest of the grain. And grain is representing increase in our life. Amen? So the next thing is new wine. He says, we'll have grain. Then he says, you'll have new wine. I find it interesting that both in Deuteronomy and in the book of Joel, he doesn't say wine. He says new wine. Now, why is this interesting? Because to me, what I feel like God is saying, this is what he said in 2020. This is what he's saying again, is new wine represents a fresh start. I believe that we're coming in. How many of you are thankful that God is a God of second chances and third chances and 26th chances? Come on, somebody. I'm thankful that God didn't go, you've messed it up too many times, but he said, you get a fresh start. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You may say, well, I already experienced salvation. No, guess what? You get to get in Christ again. Every single day you can step and say, I'm dying to the old me and I'm living in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. Today's a fresh start. Today's a new day. His mercies were new this morning. He didn't run out of them. He didn't take them back. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of a new beginning. He's the God of a fresh start. I love in Isaiah where God says, I'm about to do a new thing, y'all. Just get ready for it. I'm about to do something new. We're stepping into a fresh start. Jesus, in the book of Luke and in the book of Mark, he was talking to a group of people, and he said, nobody puts an unshrunk garment on a garment that is, I'm messing this all up, but basically you don't take a patch that's unshrunk and sew it onto a garment because it will rip it. He said, nobody also takes new wine and puts it in old wineskins because it will burst the wineskins. He says, when you have new wine, you need to get some new wineskins. And if you, the actual reference to this is in the sermon notes if you want to go find it and study it out, but it's in Luke, the 5th chapter. He says, when you get new wine, you need to have some new wineskins. What does that mean? That means you need a fresh start. When you get a new batch of wine, you need to start new with new wineskins, and our bodies are the wineskins. And I'm saying today, God, I pray that you'd give me a fresh start. Renew my mind today. Renew my spirit today. Renew my energy today. Because when you put new wine into new wineskins, what it does is it preserves the wine, and the wine gets better and better as it goes on. But when you don't put it new wine in new wineskins, but you put it in old wineskins, it will burst and you waste everything. So he's saying you need some new wineskins. New wine requires new wineskins, a fresh start. Here's what I want to say to you today. Quit looking in the rearview mirror. Quit looking at yesterday. Guess what? It's over. You cannot change yesterday. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't drive looking in the rearview mirror all the time. You've got to get a fresh vision. You've got to look at what God is bringing and what's coming your way. The greatest days of this church are not behind us. The greatest days of this church are ahead of us. The greatest days for your life are not behind you. They're ahead of you. Why can I say that? Because God is a God whose mercies are new every morning. And if you love God and you obey God, he will make it his job to prosper you. with grain and with new wine. You can have a fresh start. I'm declaring over your life today, the future starts now, right now. No more stale wine from yesterday. No more wasting. God is producing a new work in your life. You aren't who you used to be. You know what? When you get in Christ, the Bible says you're a new creation. Everything in the past is in the past. And all things has become new. You get a fresh start. The last thing I want to talk to you about is oil, because oil represents anointing. So the grain represents increase. The new wine represents a fresh start. And the oil represents anointing. I want you to know this morning, there's an anointing for your life. Not just for the man or woman of God that preaches. Not just for the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, the teacher. No, God wants to anoint you. He wants to anoint you. He wants you to be an anointed lawyer. He wants you to be an anointed mechanic. He wants you to be an anointed grocery store clerk. He wants you to be an anointed stay-at-home mom. He wants you to be an anointed elementary school teacher. He wants you to be an anointed retiree. He wants you to be an anointed factory worker. Whatever you do, he wants to anoint you. So many times we think that God just anoints the man or the woman of God. No, that's not the reality. The reality is the anointing just means to smear. It means that wherever you go, God's on you. Wherever you go, God is leading the way, and he is making things happen in your life that you could not make happen if you were on your own. The Hebrew word, again, anoint, means to smear. So that means that when you're anointed, you're just covered with Jesus Christ. You're covered with the Holy Spirit. You're covered with the love of the Father. It makes me think about, you ever gone to a restaurant and you eat there and you smell like it the rest of the day? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you got to go home and change clothes sometimes because you've been in that place, and so you smell like that place. When you get in the presence of God, it will affect everything about you, and you can carry it where you go. You go to work, and you go to work anointed. The power of what happens is when you get anointed, the power of God becomes evident in your life. It's no longer a secret. It's when David was anointed to become king, it all of a sudden became evident that he was going to be king. When Saul was anointed king, when prophets were anointed, all of a sudden it became evident. Why? Because God began to use them in his power, in his anointing. And I want to tell you, the anointing is not just an Old Testament, Old Covenant thing. The anointing in the New Testament, the book of 1 John says, you don't need anybody to teach you because you have the anointing of the Holy One. Can I let you know, John was talking to the church, not just to one specific man of God. Like when Paul wrote to Titus or to Timothy, John was writing to the church, and he said, you have the anointing from the Holy One. God is on your life. He wants to use you. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, that the anointing oil will break the yoke. It'll break the yoke of bondage. And a yoke represents a burden. Those things that have been a burden on your back, they can be broken by the anointing. Not by striving, but by the anointing. Not by working hard, but by the anointing. Not by a man's word, but by the anointing that can only come from God. The limitations that have held you in check and have kept you from accomplishing the will and the purpose of God that's on your life, those things that have held you back, the anointing can break them off of your life. The anointing breaks off words that were spoken over you. Some of you guys, maybe mom and dad, they didn't encourage the way that you should have been encouraged. They didn't tell you they loved you. Maybe they abused and they spoke down to you. Or maybe it was classmates, or maybe it's coworkers, or maybe you have a brother or a sister, or maybe it's your spouse, and they're always speaking negatively towards you, and it's begun to be a burden and it's a yoke. The anointing can break those things off. Let me tell you something. Like I said, we just got back from vacation. 2 years ago when we went on vacation, we woke up on Saturday. We're supposed to be coming home, and I happened to run into the bathroom because Boaz had gone in there and turned on the jets to the tub. Water had gone everywhere, and in my bare feet, I hit the wet floor, and my feet went out from under me, and I hit the door frame, and I split my head open, and I probably got a concussion. I didn't go to the doctor. I should have. Madison had to drive home. Like, I couldn't. My vision got blurry. I couldn't read my cell phone 2 feet in front of my face. And I'm going to tell you what. I laid in bed on Friday night in Florida this past Friday night, and anxiety came all over me. Tomorrow morning, something's going to happen to you again. because we didn't go on vacation last year because Bishop was born in the month and whatever. But I was laying there and I was like, I legitimately began to get scared. Something's going to happen either to you or to one of your family members. That's an attack of the enemy. But you know what I did? I began to pray. Now I begin to say, no, fear doesn't have any place here. I'm not going to give into that. I believe that we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That fear left and it was gone. Why? Because when the presence of God comes into your situation, it will break the yoke that is in your life. Anything that is trying to hold you back, because fear is a restriction in your life. It's trying to keep you from doing that. Well, maybe we shouldn't go there. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we shouldn't. No, no, no. We're not called to walk in fear. We're called to walk in faith. And so we're going to let the anointing break those yokes off of us. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not return again to the yoke of slavery. So here's what I want to say to you today, and I believe that I'm speaking prophetically as it was in 2020, but now it's about to come to pass. The results of the rain are coming. Grain, new wine, and oil. And so if you desire for that, for the reign of God, I'm going to ask you simply, would you just stand to your feet with me today? And as an act to God of saying yes to what he is saying, would you join me in the altar today? If you're saying, I want the results of the reign, I'm saying, yes, God, I will love you. Yes, God, I will obey you. Yes, God, I will serve you. And I'm going to believe for increase. I'm going to believe for a fresh start. I'm going to believe for the anointing. And maybe you're saying, yeah, but I'm not seeing it yet. That's the point. It takes faith. We got to believe in faith. God, I know I'm going to see the former reign. I know I'm going to see the latter reign. And here's the biggest key. Here's the biggest key. Don't fall in love with the gifts of God more than the God who gives good gifts. Sometimes we get so focused on the rain. We get so focused on the grain, the increase. We get so focused on the new wine for the fresh start. We get so focused on the oil, on the anointing. Remember his commandment. If you will listen, obey to my commands to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, then I'll give this to you. It all hinges on, do we love him? Do we want to serve him? So, Father, we're saying today, we're in love with you more than we're in love with your gifts. God, I know that the results of the rain are coming. I know that we're going to see this city turned upside down with a move of God. I know that as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we're going to be filled. So God, we hunger and we thirst. We seek first your kingdom. God, we're not just seeking these results. The results are up to you. We're seeking you. God, we're coming after you. We want you, God. As we sang earlier, I just want you. God, I thank you that you give good gifts, but that's not why we're here today. We're here because you're a wonderful Father. We're here because you're a good God. And God, I believe that you're about to do what you've spoken, what you've promised. And God, we don't want to miss it because we get caught up in seeking the wrong thing. We say, we're after your heart. We're after your will. And we commit today to obey your commands. We commit today to say we want to love you with all of our heart. We want to love you with all of our soul. I want to read a passage of scripture to you today as I talk about don't fall in love with the gifts of God more than the God who gives good gifts. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 39, it says this, for the children of Israel, that's symbolic of us as the people of God, and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain, of the new wine, and the oil to the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and singers are, and we will not neglect the house of our God. Here's what this passage of scripture says, that as God pours out increase, fresh start, and anointing, the people took it and they didn't fall in love with it. They were willing to sow it back into the house of God. They rolled a brick. He said, we're not going to neglect the house of God. We're not going to, because the problem in Nehemiah, they were coming back from exile. You know why they went in exile? Because every time God blessed them, they got consumed with the blessing and they forgot God. Nehemiah is saying, we're not going to do that this time. We're coming back, and when God blesses us with that grain and new wine and oil that he promised us generations ago, we're not going to be so caught up with that that we forget God. We're going to bring it and say, God, what you've given to us, we now freely give back to you. So, Father, we say we're in love with you. God, whatever you give us, we want to give of it back to you. We don't want to be consumed with a blessing. We want to be in awe of the one who is blessing us. And so we say today, we love you. And Lord, we want to see the results of the rain. We want to see you move mightily. And God, we're not scared of what it's going to look like. I just declare in faith right now, we're not going to be afraid of what it's going to look different than what you thought it was going to look like. You can't anticipate or preconceive what a move of God's going to look like. We're not going to try to get weird. We're not going to try to do things to make it happen. But God, whatever you have in store, we say yes. We say yes. God, use this house to turn this community upside down. God, we don't want to be braggadocious. We don't want to be people that are purposely, intentionally offensive, but God, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ either. We don't want to be ashamed of the power of God. The Bible says that the preaching of the Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And so, Father, we will continue to preach the cross, and we will continue to love you and serve you. And Lord, I'm praying that you would you lift your hands and receive this today? Father, I'm praying for increase, that grain. I'm praying for new wine, fresh starts today. And I'm praying for oil, the anointing of the Holy One to rest upon. Lord, if there's yokes of bondage today, let it be broken right now through the anointing. Father, let it be destroyed. As that's what it says in Isaiah 10:27. The yoke will be destroyed by the anointing oil. God, I pray that it wouldn't just be put to the side, but it'd be destroyed. Any yoke of bondage, any addiction, anything that's holding someone back, I thank you that there's nothing more powerful than the anointing that comes from God. And so I'm praying grain, new wine, and oil to be released on this house, which this house consists of your people. It's not just a brand. It's not just an entity. It's the body of Jesus Christ. It's the redeemed of the Lord, your chosen vessels. And so we're saying yes to what you want to do today. God, send the rain, we ask. Send the rain. Restore what's been lost. Restore what's been stolen. God, I thank you that you promised us in the book of Joel, you will restore to us the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. God, I pray that you would restore everything that's been lost from every life that is represented here today from this house. We thank you that you're a God of restoration, and you can do more in a second than we could work in a lifetime. And so we trust you today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you in your life personally experience the results of the rain as you love God, serve God, and obey God. May you experience increase, a fresh start, and anointing every single day in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys so much. Hey, join us Wednesday night at 6:30. Logan's going to be bringing the word. You don't want to miss it. And so we invite you to come. Yeah, no pressure. Love you guys.